Let's turn back to our top story this hour. We've been hearing about the agreement reached at the UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow. Now, one part of the world where the effects of climate change are all too stark is in Nigeria and the commercial capital of that country, Lagos. Lagos is the most populous city in Africa with an estimated 24 million residents. But as a low-lying city on Nigeria's Atlantic coast, it's extremely vulnerable to flooding. As the city's population has grown, increased sand mining for construction has also been a major factor in shoreline erosion, according to environmental campaigners. Now, Adeola Adekola is a journalist based in Lagos who covers environmental issues, and he also works for the Centre for Investigative Journalism here in London. He joins us now from Lagos. Thanks for speaking with us. Now, residents of Nigeria have been used to annual floods for many years. Are they getting worse?
Thank you for having me. Absolutely, they have been getting worse. In July, for example, this year, there was massive flooding with about 4,000 residents in Lagos displaced. According to the agency, the Nigerian Hydrological Services Agency, it's predicted 27 states will be at risk of flooding. But when we compare the data available in 2019, 277,000 were affected by flooding in Nigeria. About 158 persons were killed by flooding. And in 2020, that number rose to a staggering 2.3 million, killing 69 people. So we could see that there was a serious spike between 2019 and 2020. And now in 2021, we've had serious cases of flooding and different reports saying that Lagos, if care is not taken, having a very fragile coastline is going to be very, the impact of flooding and climate change and global warming basically will be very huge.
Mm. And when Lagos residents and those in Nigeria in general speak about the flooding, what do they blame? Do they pinpoint climate change as the source of the flooding or something else?
Well, absolutely. There are two sides to it. There is the effect of climate change, which we are seeing globally. But there's also the human-induced issues affecting flooding in Lagos, especially. Lagos prides itself as a mega city, so to speak. But it's also a mega city of slums. About 66% of the population, for example, are living in floating shanty slums. You have the Makokos of this world. And there's also Otodogbame in 2017 that was actually demolished by the Lagos state government. And like you've also referenced in your introduction, there are a lot of activities of sand miners, illegal loggers in the forest. But residents are not able to really connect these dots. And I think that's where the media plays a crucial role. Like I said, it's been there is a large issue of human induced with poor urban planning practices and inadequate environmental infrastructure contributing to the factors. So on one leg, there's the issues of climate change and global warming. But on the other leg, there is no proactive way of dealing with these issues.
Adeola, stay with us. I'd like to bring our guests in who have some questions for you. Toby Green.
Yes, good morning, Adeola. Nice to speak with you. I just wondered, you know, obviously, you know, such a huge country, Nigeria, and there's the situation in Lagos, but obviously also the instability in the north of Nigeria is also almost certainly related in some ways to climate instability and desertification. And I wondered how much in Nigerian, you know, public debate, that awareness of the twin elements of climate change in the north and the south is part of the discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. I keep saying in every forum, every opportunity I have it, that the insecurity challenge in Nigeria cannot be won by tanks and bullets, because the crisis from the north, especially insecurity, has its base in climate change. The Chad Basin, for example, which is a very huge source of irrigation in the north for farmers, has dried up by over 50 to 60% in the last two decades. And so we see that famine, which is one of the mainstays of northerners, has shrunk. So you have their source of income shrinking. And so that has led to them trying to move down south. And that also goes to the issue of the herdsmen. So when there is no vegetation due to desertification and shortage of rainfall, amazingly, there's shortage of rainfall in the north. However, when you have about 100 millimeters of rain, you get flooding in some areas in the north. Taraba was flooded some months ago too as well. So like I was saying, when there is no vegetation, the herders have been moving more down south, and that started the clashes between dwellers and inhabitants of cities or towns and the herders, the headsmen. So this conversation around, the livelihood of the herders and farmers from the north is being threatened, which is why it's making them move down south, which still has a good number, a good rainfall data or rainfall capacity over the years. But absolutely, I think the government of the day has to now disaggregate. So, for example, Nigeria just submitted the national contribution, the national determined contribution to the UN in July. But how has this been disaggregated to subnational entities, the state government? How are they able to take this regulation or legislation or agreement and start implementing in the state? I think that's part of what we need to interrogate going forward.
Loretta Napoleoni.
Yes, good morning. I just have a question. So do you know which percentage of people from the north migrates to the south? So, you know, to Lagos, to the cities, and which percentage actually migrates to the north, going, you know, towards Europe? Because, I mean, that's the other route, right, that they take.
Absolutely. There is part of the challenge we are also having is available data, the availability of data. So that number, I'm not too sure is readily available, but there is a data, I'm not so sure about the source of the data, but there is Lagos, for example, prides itself that every 4 minutes, a new person comes into the city, and that also accounts for the huge population. But there is a very, especially even when you come to Lagos, there is a proliferation of northerners in the state. And that's actually, migration is one of the essences of life. People are allowed to migrate wherever they want, and they are allowed to stay wherever they want. But we have to begin to question. And of course, in recent times, there's also the rural to urban migration. A lot of people come to Lagos to earn a living. And so that has also affected the reasons why you see lots of people coming to Lagos, because, of course, it's the commercial center of the country, West Africa and Africa, if arguably. So the data specifically, I'm not too sure. But of course, these things are part of the things that happen. People migrating from the north to the south. And of course, because people are trying to also go to greener pastures, they go through the Sahara Desert, sometimes through human traffickers too as well, to get to Europe.
Mm. Adeola, thank you very much. Adeola Adekola is a journalist based in Lagos.